morning, I want us to consider Abraham's surrender. When we understand who God is, we must all surrender to God. Unfortunately, many have not yet come to this understanding. What does surrender mean? It means to yield to the power of another, to give up something of possession, either because we are compelled to do so or because we are demanded to do so. We relinquish, we give up completely, we submit. Now, I'm not a history buff, but I know some people are, and they travel to these different battlegrounds in the United States where battles took place, where there were surrenders that happened. This army fighting this one, this general, this one, whoever. And these are well known, and people go and visit them because they are interesting. They are important. They are important to the history of the country and to the future of the country. But friends, the greatest battle that ever took place is in the battle of our hearts and minds. And the greatest surrender that ever took place is in our own heart and mind. And we are either going to surrender to God or we are going to surrender to Satan. The nature and deity of God demands that we surrender all to Him. He has given us examples of individuals who have done so. And this morning I want us to consider the example of Abraham and his surrender. So notice the first thing that Abraham surrendered was his country. It was over 1,300 miles from his homeland where he was led. As Chris read in Genesis 12:1, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you.'" Hebrews 11:8, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went not knowing where he was going." Just think about this. Leaving your country, leaving your home. I didn't check this out, but I believe that this distance would have been roughly about as far as from here if he went down to some part of the southern part of Florida. And just think, God is calling him. You leave where you are and you go to where I am going to tell you. But we must surrender our country also. Philippians 3:20. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior and the Lord Jesus." And 1 John 2:15, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." This would have been a great surrender for God to just say, "Get up and go to where I'm going to show you." But Abraham surrendered. Well, let's also consider that Abraham surrendered his kinship, his family. God told him to leave his kindred, back to verse 1. "Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house." You know, that's hard. That's hard to do because it's emotional. We have emotional ties with our family, with our blood relatives. But we must surrender. We must be willing to surrender our families to serve God. Matthew 10:35-37. "For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." He's not telling us to not love our family. He's telling us not love our family more than we love him. We must be willing to surrender our families and put God first. Just think about a couple of individuals that didn't. Think about Ahab. Did he put God first, or did he put his wife Jezebel first? He put his wife Jezebel first, and it ruined his life. Just think about Solomon, as wise as he was. He made all of those entanglements with all of those wives, and it ruined his life. Friends, we must surrender our family if we want to go to heaven. And it's a great battle, but we must be willing to surrender our family and put God first. Well, Abraham surrendered his own judgment and wisdom. Has anybody ever told you something to do and you just think, well, that doesn't sound right? I know we ought to do it this way or do it that way. That just doesn't sound right. But Abraham surrendered his own wisdom and judgment. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. This took a lot of faith. And again, just think about this. Going about 1,300 miles. He didn't have a map to look at. He didn't have a triptych to take along with him that he got from AAA. He didn't have a DVD to watch to see what this land was going to be like that he was going to. Didn't have the travel station or whatever it is. He didn't have a GPS to just program in where he was going. He went by faith, and he had to rely on God's wisdom and God's judgment, and he went out not knowing where he was going. He put 100% trust in God. That's what we've got to do. That's what we've got to do. And there are a lot of things that are in the Bible that people say, well, that just sounds foolish. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 2 Kings 5:11, but Naaman became furious in a way and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. That's what Naaman thought the prophet would do because he was relying on his own wisdom, his own judgment. Numbers 21:8, then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. Does that make sense? You take a brass serpent and put it on a pole, and you're bitten by this poisonous snake, and you look at this one and you're going to live? Doesn't make much sense. But do we believe what God says? Do we surrender our heart and mind and soul to God? Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. That doesn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people in the world. But they are relying on their wisdom and their judgment instead of God's wisdom and his judgment. Well, another thing that Abraham surrendered was his personal privilege in the interest of peace. Let's turn over to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis 13, beginning at verse 7. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right, and if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. So when Abram left his homeland and he headed out, and Lot was going with him, and as they are traveling and their herds are growing on this journey, and they just get too big to graze together, and they've got to separate. And there is strife between Abram's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. They weren't getting along. But Abraham surrendered his personal privilege. It was his right. He was the eldest. He could have said, you know, Lot, I'm your uncle. I'll give you this place over here, and I'm going to take the rest. Abraham could have said a half a dozen different things, but he didn't. He gave up his personal rights, his personal privilege. And why did he do that? He wanted to keep peace in the family. He wanted to keep peace. He surrendered it. Well, consider also that Abraham surrendered his son. Let's turn on over to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22 and verse 2. Let's start at 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham? And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Isaac was Abraham's most prized possession. He said, Take your son, your only son, whom you love. And again, this is aside from the point, but you just see the parallel with God and Christ, his son, his only son, his only begotten son, whom he loved so much. This would have been a very hard commandment for Abraham. You know, some people think that baptism is a hard commandment. You mean you want me to be baptized? God wanted Abraham to sacrifice his son. Some people think that attending all the services is a hard commandment. God wanted Abraham to sacrifice his son. How much would you be willing to give to God? I've got to ask myself, how much would I be willing to give to God? You see, Abraham surrendered completely. And when you think about the rich young ruler in Mark 10, Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Just compare Abraham to this rich young ruler. Because Abraham was a old, wealthy man. But this rich young ruler, he didn't want to give up any of his worldly possessions. Abraham was willing to surrender his son for God. Abraham surrendered to God's will. When we go back to Genesis 12, Now the Lord said to Abram, Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So take a look at this. God tells Abram what he wants him to do. And then, what does Abram say? Does he say, well, wait a minute, God. What about this? Well, can I go later? He doesn't make any excuses. It just says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. We need to have that same mind, that same heart that Abram had, that when God tells us to do something, we don't question it. We don't try to second guess God. We just do it. When we get to this account in chapter 22, where he's told to sacrifice his son, when we drop down to verse 3, so Abraham arose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. You see his surrender. He didn't hesitate. He didn't contemplate. He went. He didn't put it off till later in the day. He got up early in the morning and went to follow out God's command. And again, Abraham isn't the only person that has shown this heart. When we look in the New Testament, we see Paul in Acts chapter 9. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. We know what Saul did. He arose and went into the city. We see whenever someone, when God spoke to someone, they obeyed, they followed. John 7:17, if anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. This is God that is speaking to us. Well, notice also, Abraham surrendered his affections. Back in Genesis 22 and verse 2, then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him. There is a burnt offering on the mountains of which I shall tell you. Just think about taking your son or your daughter or a grandchild, and God says, I want you to take this person, your flesh and blood, whom you love, and go up and slay them and offer them as a burnt offering. How could you do that without surrendering completely to God? We have to surrender our affections. If our affections are still with our family, with things of the world, we aren't going to be willing to follow God, and God is not going to be pleased with us. The New Testament teaches that we must likewise do the same thing. Again, as we looked at in Matthew 10:37, we are to love our family, but we are to love God more than we love our family. And if our family stands between us and God, we choose God. Abraham surrendered his doubts. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and beginning at verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls these things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Friends, are we fully convinced that what God has promised, He is also able to perform? That's a test of our faith. That's a test of our faith. And God tests us every day. Consider these elements of his faith. He believed in hope against hope. He was not weak in faith. He did not stagger in unbelief. He was strong in faith. He was fully persuaded. And again, you know, I've read through this so many times and I'm like, yeah. But when you just stop and think, would we be willing to give up our home, give up our family, offer our family up to God, give up any and everything that God tells us to? Well, notice also Abraham surrendered without hesitation. Back to Genesis 22. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. He surrendered without hesitation. What do so many people do today? They procrastinate. Yeah, I'm going to surrender someday. I'm going to obey the gospel someday. I'm going to start reading my Bible someday. I'm going to start praying more often someday. I'm going to start talking to the lost someday. He surrendered without hesitation. He rose early in the morning to carry out God's command. Again, we have examples that are in contrast to that. When Paul reasoned with Felix about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, what did he say? He said, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." See, Felix didn't want to surrender. He did not want to surrender. He was trembling. Acts 26:28. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to be a Christian." Friends, those battles, we've been to places in West Virginia, places in Tennessee where battles took place. Those are really interesting to walk around and look at. But the greatest battle and the greatest surrender that will ever take place is in our hearts and minds. We sing the song, "All to Jesus I surrender, I surrender all, I surrender all." We have the example of Abraham. He's the example of someone surrendering all to God. Now friend, what are you willing to surrender to God? What am I willing to surrender to God? Please obey God today by surrendering to Him. We know what we need to do to surrender, to become part of His family. And as we were talking about in class, when we obey the gospel, it's not just a one-time thing. That gets us into the body, and then we live a life working in the vineyard, surrendering our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our time to serving God. If there's anybody here this morning that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation to surrender all to our Creator, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal light and air, when the Savior nurses